Thank you, Moses. And it is so good to be back here with you this morning and to share this time with you. So good morning to Lighthouse and good morning to everyone online. Good morning to Pastor Jennifer as she watches there. And it is great to have Pastor Jennifer back in town and soon to be back here with you to celebrate Christmas. Marianne sends her love to you. She is actually traveling. Right now, my wife is traveling to the States, or actually, she's in the States now. Our fathers are 94 and 91, respectively. So we're going there to spend the Christmas time with them. So I'll join her in a few weeks. But pray for her as she's praying for you, and she sends you her love. And it is good to have Anil here and Mina, and it's been a pleasure to be able to just be a part of this part of your journey together at Lighthouse. And I saw Pastor Michael as well. I didn't bring my bagpipes today, but anyway, it was good to see his testimony a few weeks ago. Today is Advent, the beginning of Advent, so the beginning of Christmas, 4 weeks of Advent. And it's a preparation for our time for Christmas. Advent just means coming, and it celebrates the first coming of Jesus, and it looks forward to his coming again. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, it celebrates that he comes to us anytime as we call on him, and he comes with a word for us today. So this is the word that we're going to receive from him today, and that is this hope rising. Each Sunday of Advent has a theme. There's love, and there's joy, and there's peace. And the first Sunday, this Sunday of Advent, is hope. And so this is what we're going to be looking at. Traditionally, it's also called the prophecy candle, or the prophecy Sunday. And so prophecy, oftentimes we think of prophecy, we think of foretelling the future, right? So prophets tell what is to come. And that is true. But it's also forthtelling. And often, mainly, the prophets would forthtell. They would speak the word of God into a given situation. So I believe that God has a prophetic word for us today in this word of hope. So we're going to look at it together. We're going to look at Scripture, because Romans 15:4 has this beautiful promise for us. This is, for everything that was written in the past, Paul writes, was written to teach us, and so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So that's what we're going to do this morning, is we're going to open up the Scriptures, not this particular one, but we're going to open up another pair of Scriptures and then to look at them that we might have hope. Amen? So let's start by stopping and have a word of prayer and just ask the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit is already here with us, and we ask now that he come into the preaching of the word that the Spirit inspired. And I pray for each of you, and I pray for each of you online, that as we open the word, you would open your hearts, that you would open your lives. You are here right now in this room and online. And so I ask that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might be fully here, that you might open wide your lives to receive what it is that God wants to give you, because what he wants to give you is good, and it's this gift. So come, Holy Spirit, give us courage to hear and to do what it is that you're asking of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. So the scripture we're going to look at today is these two from later on in Romans 15. So if you want to turn to those, you can, and we'll have these on the screen as well. And so I'd like to just start by reading these together. So this is Paul speaking in Romans chapter 15, and he says this. Let's read with me. And again, Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so it starts right in with, Isaiah, depending on which side of the pond you're from. He has this prophecy. And Isaiah is called the Christmas prophet. And the reason he's called the Christmas prophet is because more than any of the other prophets, he speaks of the coming of the Messiah. So if you know Handel's Messiah, the music, and you read through Isaiah, you'll just hear again and again the words coming off the page. So the Christmas prophet prophesies about the root of Jesse. Now, we sing this during our Christmas. It was great to hear Christmas music this morning. And we sing about this in our Christmas songs, the root of Jesse. But who is the root of Jesse? And we know it to be Jesus, but why is he called the root of Jesse? And the root, obviously, the beginning, the source that's coming out. But Jesse, of course, was David's father. And so when we talk about the son of David, it's David was the son of Jesse. So this root of Jesse. And it's used by the prophets, and it's used in the Bible to speak about the humanity of Jesus. Because Jesus came as fully God and fully man, which is a mystery we can't understand, but we can live in. And he came fully man. The root of Jesse speaks of his humanity. So I'm going to encourage us and challenge us this Christmas maybe to meditate a little bit on the humanity of Jesus. Because we worship the resurrected King, right? And last Sunday was King Sunday, and we spoke of the King of Kings, and we should. But we can't also forget that the Word came and took on flesh, and he dwelt among us. He was a man like us. He got tired. There were frustrations in his life. He really lived life. He suffered every temptation and every pain. This is your God. This is your Lord. This is my Lord. So not only does he feel what we feel and experience what we feel in humanity, but because he is God, he also has the power that we can place our hope in him. And so that's why Paul goes on. He has two quotations from the Christmas prophet. The first one, root of Jesse, is Isaiah 11:1. But the second one comes on to Isaiah 40. And I'm going to turn to that in just a little bit. But before we look at that, I want us to remember, what do we talk about when we talk about hope, right? Because hope is a small word, but it can be kind of conceptual. And if you recall last month, I had lifted up at one point Thomas Aquinas' definition of hope. And he says, when we're in hope, this is what's happening. It's a difficult time, or we wouldn't hope that we're out of it, right? It's not now, it's in the future, because it's not going on now what we hope for, it's something to come. And it's also good. We believe and we hope for it, or else we wouldn't hope for something. We don't hope for bad things. We hope for good things. And in Jesus Christ, it's possible. For all things are possible in and through the Father. Okay, so with that understanding of hope, so that we keep breaking it down to something real, then I want us to go on, and we're going to look now at Isaiah 40. So this is the second passage that Paul was quoting. And he was quoting about, there is one that you can put your hope in. And this picks up in Isaiah 40. This begins with the words, comfort, comfort my people. And so God has comforted his people through the prophet. And then he gets to verse 27. So let's read this together. I saw last week that Anil really worked you hard in terms of reading, right? So you are in great shape to read this, and I need your help. So let's read this together. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Let's just go back to the slide right before. So why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Okay, here's just a little tip for a Bible study. When you're reading the Bible and there's a name in there, then one of the things you can do is you can put your name in there, and it personalizes the text a little bit. So this says, why do you say, O Jacob? So we can put, why do you say, O Steve, and complain, O Steve? I have to be very careful with Steve here, I recognize, because there are a lot of Steves in the room. I'm speaking about myself, not other Steves. Okay, so why do you say, O Steve, and complain, O Steve? My way is hidden from the Lord. So put your name in there, okay, and do that. So why do you say, oh, and complain? Oh, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. So you can try this at home if you want, right? Just say it at home. You know, why do you complain, oh? No, you actually may not want to try this at home. But you see what's happening here. This is the situation of which hope comes. Hope doesn't come in situations where you're thinking everything's good, usually. It comes in a situation where we feel our way is hidden from the Lord. Why do you disregard my cause and do you not know? But the prophet then goes on and he says, he does know. He is the one who created heavens and earth, and he is the one who gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So let's just stop here, because you may be weary right now. You may be weary in the weeks to come as we go into Christmas with some of the extra demands of the Christmas season. And this is the promise of the Lord, that he will give you strength and he will increase the power of the weak. And then it goes on to this beautiful crescendo of this end of this chapter. And it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. If you saw many years ago the movie Chariots of Fire, this was the passage he was preaching on the runner, Liddell. Actually, I sent it to one of our kids who was running a turkey trot in New York, a 5K, because it's a good verse if you're a runner. They will run and not grow weary. But what I want us to focus on is this word soar. Soar. They will soar. Some years ago, we were in a prayer time, and it was a prayer conference, actually, or a training session. And so this teacher was teaching us various ways to pray, and he said, well, let's just not just listen, let's actually do it. And so we've divided up and we're praying for each other. And there was a woman on council at our church who was praying for me. And as she was praying for me, she had this image of an eagle soaring. Or actually, she had this image of a kite soaring, which is what we have here in Hong Kong. In Africa, we had the African eagles. Whatever bird is, that eagle, that hawk, that kite soaring, this is the image here. And it was such an encouragement for me on that day, because there was a lot going on down here. And it was by hope we can soar above. And it became something that God used to continue to encourage me. And I hope it's an encouragement for you. In quarantine, when I was in quarantine, the hawks would be out there soaring, and I would remember this passage. Yesterday, we live on the 19th floor, and yesterday as I was looking out, I saw one of the kites soaring around, and I thought, I'm going to be preaching about you tomorrow. And this morning, as I was on an early morning run against a really blue sky, way up there was the soaring eagle. And after she prayed this for me, and when I was in quarantine, I began to think about soaring. How do they soar? What does it mean to soar with wings like eagles? And so I came up with a very simple acronym, and I'll share it with you in the hope that it might be helpful. But when we soar, I think we're first still. Have you noticed how still these hawks are, these kites? They're hardly moving, right? I mean, when I'm in trouble, I'm like flapping wildly, right? As much as I can flap to stay afloat or flying, but they're very still. And I think that tells us something about experiencing God and hope. And then the other word is orient. Now, orient means a lot of different words. It means east, which is good, Asia here. But it also means to locate yourself. So our kids during high school, they went on orienteering courses where you find the markings, then you orient where you are and you know where you want to go. And as we're still, we kind of orient ourselves into the presence of God and say, God, where am I with you? Am I far? Am I close? And you begin to orient. And then the third is to be attentive. Attention is the greatest form of love as we're attentive to one another. And the psalm speaks about that, like a handmaiden looking at the Lord. They're so attentive to the Lord. And so we ask ourselves, what are you doing in my life right now? We're attentive to every little word, prompting of the Lord. And then the beautiful one at the end is we receive. We receive. You know, I was watching the hawk yesterday, the kite yesterday, and he was going around. He was so still. But then apparently there was a gap in the thermals that he was rising on. And so then he had to flap a little bit. And then he went back to that. But then he was still. But he was so attentive, watching. But mainly what he was doing is nothing. He was just receiving. His arms, his wings were spread out wide. And I want to give that to us as a visual prayer. That when we soar, so much of it is just opening our arms wide and say, God, whatever you want, I want to receive from you. The Lord says, open your mouths wide and I will fill it. Amen? Is this making sense? Okay, so check out the kites when you see them and soar with them. Now, with this understanding of receiving, then I think we're ready to go back and receive the blessing, because there's this beautiful blessing, and mainly what I wanted to do today was to come and to bless you in the name of the Lord, to bless you with this beautiful blessing of hope, and it's may the God of hope. Anytime in the Bible when you hear the words may, you know that a blessing is coming. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the God of hope fill you. And this particular blessing, I want us to pray together, but first, I think we need to understand it. So let's just understand it, and then we can receive the blessing. But may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. So there's two parts to this blessing. There's the filling, and then there's the overfilling or overflow. And you can see that. Basically, there's two mays. May the God of hope fill, may the God of hope overflow, may you overflow. So what does it mean to receive all joy? May he fill you with all joy. And I love how all through this service together this morning, we've been talking about Thanksgiving, right? In everything, be thankful. And we were thankful and the thankfulness came up. And I want us to look at joy because there's a connection with joy and Thanksgiving. This week, as we know, was American Thanksgiving. One of the beauties of having American Thanksgiving overseas is that you can't always have it on the day, so you end up having lots of them. So I went to 3 different Thanksgiving meals this last week. So definitely overflowing, overfilling. Definitely needed to run this morning. So, but there's this filling, there's this connection with joy and thankfulness, which we don't always understand. And Brother David Steindl-Rast, he has some beautiful books on gratefulness. In fact, he's dedicated his life to really thanksgiving and gratefulness. And he has this beautiful insight. The root of joy is gratefulness. It is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. So it's not the joyful that are grateful. It's the grateful that are joyful. Amen? And so this is a reminder of this. And we already heard this in beautiful testimony, Sister Amy, as you were sharing about. It's difficult sometimes. Remember, difficult is the definition of hope, but it's difficult sometimes. And so when it says in everything be thankful, we want to, but it's hard sometimes, right? And Christmas is known for joy, right? We were singing joy, and it was great to sing joy, and we need joy in our lives. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And Christmas, we should sing loudly with joy as we sing our faith. But sometimes it's hard, right? Sometimes it's hard to be joyful at Christmas because maybe our life, something happened. My sister, many years ago, passed away on December 20th. And that was a hard Christmas. It was a hard Christmas for our family that Christmas. It was a hard Christmas the next Christmas. The next Christmas. It's been many, many years. But this December 20th, I will remember that. And many of us have different things at Christmas. And not only that, it may be the times where we feel most alone. It may be the time where we feel furthest away from family. And so in everything, be thankful. It is possible. And I want to tell you just a little bit of something that's been helpful for me, a little bit of a tip. And this is what Brother David says. He says, even in the most difficult situations, we can be thankful. Why? Because somewhere in that everything, that situation, is embedded an opportunity. And when we find that opportunity, we can be thankful for it. It may be the opportunity to grow, and we need to be thankful for that. It may be simply the opportunity to get closer to others, because we know, thank God, we do not have to go through this alone. And you're here now in this community. And even now, if you're going through one of these moments, you can be thankful, not for the situation, but you can be thankful in the Lord that for your brothers and sisters that are here. Somewhere, and some are harder to find than others, there's embedded this beautiful gift of an opportunity. Find it. Give thanks for it. And here's what will happen. It's like you'll be just cracking open the window a little bit, and joy will start to come in. Because when we are thankful, we are joyful. Amen? Okay, so this is what Paul is talking about when he's talking about may you be filled with joy. It's a real in difficult situations sometimes, joy and peace. Peace is a little bit simpler. Peace is mainly for most of us, here it's more like a shalom, so it's total peace. But it's for most of us, it's an outcome. If you think about what you're most anxious about, quite often it will be you're anxious actually about the outcome. You're not really anxious so much about it, but you're wondering, how will your kids turn out? How will it go for them? What will be the outcome? What will be the outcome of the meeting? What will be the outcome of the project? What will be the outcome? And so there's this beautiful connection that Paul makes between peace and the word that follows it, trust. And basically saying, you know, just give the outcome to God. This is easier said than done. But again and again, when I feel anxiety, I wonder, what outcome am I worried about? And then I say, okay, God, I can't control that anyway. And so I leave that in your hands. Trust is a word that is basically our faith. When we trust in the Lord, it's what we do. This morning when Marion and I were texting back and forth, there was a particular situation we're praying for, and she said, I just trust in the goodness of the Lord. And then we trust in the Lord. That's our faith. That's what defines us, is because we do trust in the Lord. couple of years ago now. It seems hard. It's been a couple of years ago. But when Marion and I were praying about whether God was calling us on from community church into another area that we didn't know at that time, but we were seeking him and we were trusting in him, and we had made a decision, but we were a little bit afraid. And no, we were a lot afraid, you know, as we were thinking about this decision. And a guest preacher came to community church, and I had invited her. She helps with Alpha International, a wonderful woman, and she was preaching. I had no idea what she was going to be preaching on. I thought it might be Alpha, but it wasn't really Alpha. She was preaching on faith, and she gave this kind of definition of faith. She says, faith, this is another acronym. This is like Acronym Sunday, right? This is Advent Acronym Sunday. So faith, but she said, faith means feeling afraid, I trust him. Or forsaking all, I trust him. And when Marion and I received this word, there was faith. And we were filled with this. And so maybe that would be helpful for you. It doesn't mean that you're not afraid. It doesn't mean that you might have to leave what will be hard to leave. But it does mean, in both cases, I trust him. So that is what Paul is saying. He says, this God of hope, he wants to fill you with joy and peace and trust in him. But then he goes on to the next part, and he says, so that, and this is the beautiful part, so that you may overflow. That you may overflow to a world that badly needs hope and is parched for it, is thirsty for it. There is a beautiful hike right behind University of Hong Kong where I work. It's a trail, and I will go up there every week and run. And one of the times I was up there, and it was right after a big rain, and there was a lot of water coming down the trail, and someone had put this bucket on the trail. And I took a picture of it because I thought, this is a visual prayer of what I want my life to look like. And I love how this, you know, we've seen the Trinity in this blessing. May the God of hope, the root of Jesse, the Holy Spirit. And it's got like three of these, faucets going right into this bucket. And the bucket is overflowing to a world that needs to hear hope. When I was growing up in Africa, I don't know why we had this tradition, but at breakfast, if we had cereal, my dad, or I guess my mom sometimes as well too, they would pour the milk on our cereal, and they would say, just say when. And then we say, when, and then they stop, right? And then that's how the tradition worked, right? So when I became a father, I thought this is great. So I just put the bowl on the table, and then I say to my kids, just say when. But my kids figured out that I wasn't going to stop. And so it was much more fun just to not say when. And then it would kind of pour over, and we would have a lot of laughs, and it didn't happen every time, fortunately. But this is what the Lord, your Father, wants to do for you. He just wants to pour. Until it overflows for others, overflowing in a way that is not of you. You're not forcing this up. You're just like the hawk. You're just receiving the winds of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit fills you with hope so that it overflows for others. Amen. Is that making sense? Would you like to receive that hope? Let's do that then. Let's do that. Let's close with just this blessing. And I would like, if you would allow me, to give you a double blessing, because this is Hong Kong and we like double blessings, right? And the double blessing is, first I would like to pray this blessing over you as the lighthouse. As the Lighthouse family here in this room and online. Earlier in the prayer time before the service, Ying was talking about, you know, it's not an individual faith. It's not an individual F-I-T-H. We trust together and we build our trust together. So I'd like to pray that over you. And then I'd like to pray individually just that you would receive it individually. So let's do this. Maybe let's learn from the kite. Let's learn from Isaiah or Isaiah about what it means to soar. So I'm going to invite you where you are just to, first of all, be still. You may want to close your eyes so that you can give your neighbors some privacy. But just to be still. Be still, the psalmist says, and know that I am Lord. I am God. And then in your stillness, orient yourself. Where are you with God? Just locate where you are right now. You want to move to a place where you can receive from Him. And you are in a beautiful place. You're in His presence here. So in stillness, orient yourself, and then be attentive. What is God doing? Saying? Has there been anything in this worship, from the music to the prayers to something someone said to you to the sermon, where God has been prompting? Be attentive to Him. And then finally, as you get ready for the blessing, receive. This is not your work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. And if you feel comfortable, you may want to open your hands or to the extent you can, just in a receiving posture. So we're still before you, God. We orient ourselves into your presence. We long to be attentive to every prompting. And we're ready to receive. So let me pray this blessing on the lighthouse. May the God of hope fill you, lighthouse, with all joy and all peace as you, as a church, gathered and scattered, trust in Him so that you, lighthouse, may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now just still yourself again. You've received that as a church body. Now I invite you to receive it where you are, the situation where you are. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in Him. And may you then overflow, not by your power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.